Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. This week we continue the sermon that Jesus began last week from Luke's Gospel, the 6th chapter. That we remember we began with the woes and the blessings last week. Well, this week again, Jesus gives us a challenge in his sermon, because what he's teaching us is how to live spiritually, how to live as people of the kingdom of God, and what it's going to be like when we go to heaven. So we must also start living that way now as witnesses to what heaven's like. Because, you see, you know who your friends are, right? You know you like and people you feel easy around, people you can confide in, and you know who your enemies are. It's pretty obvious, right? But when we hear today's gospel lesson, Jesus is quite clear what God expects of us. You know, like the Ten Commandments, these are not the Ten Suggestions. The Ten Commandments are commandments from God, how to live a healthy and holy life and how to heal the world. And so what Jesus says today is not suggestions. They are really commands from Jesus how to live as his disciples. So Jesus is telling us, listen up. This is how you are to live for those who follow the God of Israel, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who gave the Ten Commandments, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, the living God. This is how God acts, and this is how he wants us to act. And Jesus tells us today, very clearly, I mean, you might not live as a Christian, you might have a church as being a true Christian church. Some people call themselves Christians, don't act this way. The true Christians, this is what they do, they follow Jesus. He tells us today, twice he says, love your enemies, twice, emphasizes that. Do good to those who hate you. Turn the other cheek. Don't judge people. And if someone takes away your coat, give them your shirt also. And you know, it's only in this way that we will heal the world. Only in this way. It's the road less traveled. It's the narrow path that Jesus gives us today. This is the way. Now, Jesus was a realist. Jesus was not some Pollyannish person on a cloud floating around. He was a real person. And he knew, because from his own life, and he knows our lives, people hurt us. How many here have never been hurt by anybody? Okay, we all agree. People threaten us. People attack us behind our backs. People lie about us and spread gossip about us. And when it comes right down to it, we are oftentimes, too, even our worst enemies. Remember the old comic strip Pogo? Anybody remember Pogo? He once said, I have met the enemy and he is me. So we've got to look at ourselves, too. And when somebody hurts us, what's our knee-jerk reaction when somebody hurts us or threatens us? And hey, we'll get back. We'll get even. Let's get even. Let's gossip about them, either outwardly or direct attack or in a passive-aggressive way where we smile in their face, but when they leave, they feel like you stabbed them in the back with gossip and innuendo. And like the book of James says, you know, especially when you're hurt, watch. It's a little tongue. It can do all kinds of damage. It can do all kinds of good, too. Jesus is saying, let's stop this unending cycle of revenge and oppression and violence and meanness and madness. How? By simply refusing to participate in it, to get out of this cycle of violence. Jesus is saying today, love your enemies. Think of that person you can't stand. Think of that person when you're walking into the grocery store, you see them coming down the aisle, you go to the next aisle. That person. Treat every person with respect and love, agape kindness, forgiveness, because, you see, that's who our God is. That's how God treats us. Look at the person is made in the image and likeness of God. God created them to love them. Don't like the sin, hate the sin, don't agree with the sin. You seek justice in the world, but to try, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to love the person. Relate to each person as Christ does. Jesus is saying this is the way to deal with human misery. Don't make things worse. Don't go low when they go low. You go high. Don't join in. Stop this cycle of violence. And it ends with you. Because if you don't, the violence escalates. And it sucks us all into a hellish place. And it destroys trust. It destroys families. It destroys neighborhoods. It can destroy nations. They were saying that the countries that do the best dealing with this coronavirus epidemic are not the countries that perhaps have the most resources or the best medical care. They're the countries that have the most trust. The ones that trust their government and trust in each other, they have done the best in this epidemic. So what Jesus is talking about, we can see lived out. Jesus is saying, do good even to the ones who hate you. We are to do good because we have a good God. God is our God, and God is good. And we are to be good-for-nothing people. Good-for-nothing people. People who do good and expect nothing in return. Because God is good to us. Because that's what God does. He comes for the good and the wicked people. His sun rises on the good and the evil people. He is good to all. He knows, too, that we can't do this on our own. So he gives us the power from on high, the Holy Spirit, to pray for the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts and souls. The Holy Spirit to help us see as Jesus sees, because we can't do it on our own. And the society doesn't back us up. The church should, and the Holy Spirit does. Oh, yes, we will be rewarded. Jesus promises us that we will be called children of the Most High God. Oh, that'd be sweet when God sees you and he says to you, oh, Carol, you are a daughter of the Most High God. Or Jim, you are the son of the Most High God. What can be better than that? What an honor. What more of a reward do we need? That's God's big picture, the way of Jesus. You know, our Jewish friends call this way, well, they do every day a thing, the practicing Jews call it mitzvah. A mitzvah is like doing a Boy Scout, do a good deed daily. But they also have a thing called tikkun olam, tikkun olam. He said, part of our reason for being at this time in this place as a person is to participate in the healing of the world, healing of relationships, healing of nations, healing of nature, healing. Don't feel you have to get even. You don't have to get even. God's in control. We read in Romans, you don't have to judge. God is just and fair, and God will take care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. And he says, don't overcome evil with evil. Overcome evil with what? Good. 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 God is working in all things. Jesus reminds us, look for the opportunity not to hate, but to love. Not to spread darkness, but to spread light. To overcome evil and wickedness with good and light. Be a light dweller, not a dark dweller. In the end, guess what? God wins. Goodness wins. Love wins. God raised Jesus from the dead. He lives. Otherwise, the darkness can invade us. The darkness can touch our souls. The darkness can deform us and make us pretty ugly, like this following story. In a large town, there were two merchants. They had their shops across the street from each other. Their stores were in competition. And the sole method each man found that he was doing being successful was not the profit he made during the day, but if he did better than the guy across the street, if he did more business than his competitor. If a customer made a purchase at the store of one merchant, the merchant would rub it into the other one. I made a sale, you didn't. The rivalry grew, and the animosity grew each year. One day, God sent an angel to one of the merchants with an offer. The Lord God has chosen to give you a great gift, the angel said. Whatever you desire, you will receive. Ask for riches, ask for long life, ask for healthy children, and the wish will be yours. And there is only one stipulation, the angel cautioned. Whatever you receive, your competitor across the street will receive twice as much. If you ask for 1,000 gold coins, he will get 2,000 gold coins. If you ask for fame, he will become twice as famous. The angel said and smiled. In this way, God wants to teach you a lesson. And the merchant thought for a while. He said, you'll give me anything I request? The angel smiled, yes. The man's face darkened. I ask that you strike me blind in one eye. Hate deformed this man's soul, this merchant's soul, so that he would hurt himself in order to hurt his enemy. The evil of blind rage and hate and unkindness and gossip and character assassination and lies and mistrust is becoming more and more prevalent in our culture, in our nation, and that is dangerous. Today, Jesus gives us a way out. Jesus gives us a different way. The way of the teacher described in this story. A woman once asked her teacher, which of all the religions in the world is the true religion? And the teacher replied, once there was a magic ring. A magic ring that gave its bearer the gifts of grace and kindness and wisdom and generosity. When the owner of the ring was on his deathbed, his three sons came separately to him and asked for the ring. And the man promised the ring to each one of them. He then sent for the finest jeweler in the land and paid him to make two rings, exact replicas of the original magic ring. And the jeweler did so. And before the man died, the father met with each son separately without telling the other two. He gave each one a ring. And they didn't know. But inevitably they found out, and the sons discovered each one had a ring, and they appeared before the local judge to ask his help in deciding who had the magic ring. And the judge examined the rings very carefully, and he found them all to be exactly alike. And he said, why must anyone decide now? We shall know who has the magic ring when we observe how you live your lives. And each of the brothers then acted as if he had the magic ring and was kind and honest and wise and forgiving and thoughtful. Now the teacher concluded, religions are like the three brothers in the story. The moment their members cease striving for justice and forgiveness and love and compassion and wisdom, we will know that their religion is not the one that God gave to the world. Yes, my brothers and sisters, what Jesus expects of us today is difficult. I know, you know, it's difficult. God calls for a radical reorientation of how we live our lives, how we view things, what we watch, what we don't watch, how we respond to people, especially those who are different, especially those who hate us. It's a transformation. Reorient our lives, love of enemies, goodness to hateful persons, not judging, forgiving everyone, and the Holy Spirit to empower us. And as we open to the way of Jesus, the narrow path, and let His Spirit transform and transfigure our lives, we will grow closer to knowing the beating heart of God and knowing God's heart in our heart. We are blessed, especially in history, by God giving us special people that have lived this kind of life and tried to. One of my favorites is St. Francis of Assisi. So I'd like to share with you his prayer as we end. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Amen. May it be so with us. In the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.